Coming up next, I'm going to tell you how to spot a low-quality employer. And then we'll share the worst career advice Dolly Parton ever got. And in the news, collapsing trucker demand. What does it mean for the overall economy? And I'm going to coach you up. Helping you win at work and life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. Let's dive into this. You know, one of the questions we've gotten over and over and over and over and over and over and over again is, you know, how do I know, Ken, as I'm in the job search process, if a company really is, you know, a healthy company, a good culture? How do I know? And it's a very good question. And so from time to time, I've given some specific tactics. But we saw something recently the team did, a video done by a job recruiter. So this is what this guy does, is recruit people for companies. So he really has an intimacy with what's done right and what's done wrong by companies. He's got a YouTube channel called Life After Layoff, and I want to give him credit because pulling some of his findings from that video. And so these are just kind of, all right, this is a flag. Might be yellow, might be red, but it's okay, let's dig in a little deeper here. Because these specific things I'm going to share all fall within the advice I've given previously. Okay? So I want to refresh that very briefly, and then we'll get into some of these flags. The advice I always give when I get that question, how do I know that it's a good place to go, is talking to current employees. I'm telling you, where there's a will, there's a way, and you know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. LinkedIn, a tremendous resource. Facebook, social media, all those sites. If you could reach out to somebody and go, hey, listen, I'm currently a candidate, and I'm just curious, how would you describe the culture? They will tell you. Ideally, if you know somebody that knows somebody, this is a local job we're talking about, so you know somebody, an acquaintance or a close personal connection, who can kind of put you in touch with somebody, they're going to tell you. We want to talk to employees first. Now, understand, we might want to talk to 3 to 5. We want to fill our bucket, if you will, not just take one squeaky wheel testimony. Doesn't mean that they're accurate. If they're very unhappy, here's your little rule of thumb. If you talk to somebody who bashes their current company, I would take that advice with a shaker of salt, not a grain, a full shaker. Ideally, you want to get advice from somebody who's happy there and they enjoy being there and have no plans to leave. Now we're going to get good insight. The other thing is you look at customer reviews and you look at vendor reviews. Stuff is out there. You can find this. What do people say about them? You know, how do they treat their customers? What are stories in the news about them? What do they say? You kind of pull all this together, kind of put on your private investigator hat, and you go get current testimony for people working there that aren't miserable. We're going to see what their client reviews are, what do their customers say about them, what do their vendors say about them, what stories in the news. Okay, so we're going to get all of those real facts, put it together, and go, okay, this seems like this is a pretty overall, pretty healthy place to be. All right, so that's the advice I give, but there's some very specific flags that when you begin to investigate, these are great flags. So here we go. The first one is when you see that they've said they're a startup. That means you need to really go, right? Because when somebody says that, what this recruiter is basically saying is that it's kind of their way of going, hey, man, this is a big, fun adventure. Woohoo! You know? And so when anytime a company says, we're a startup, in some ways they're making excuses for some of the things you may have to deal with. That's a red flag. Second, the phrase full-time, part-time, or contract. If that's in the job description, the posting, full-time, part-time, or contract, what this recruiter's saying, that usually means that they're desperate. It's a shotgun approach. They're not specific. They're just looking for somebody with a pulse. And when that means they're looking at that for a position you're interested in, that means they've done it in other places. And so you get in the building there and everybody's there and there's no intentionality. It's just, can you breathe? Oh, good. You're alive? Great. Come join the team. That's not selective. That's not intentional culture team building. Okay. Third, you see things like urgently hiring. according to this video, means they're probably going to say and do anything just to get you in the door. So this one plays off that other one, right? The shotgun approach to full-time, part-time, kind of, we just need to get people in the building. And then urgently hiring means we'll take anybody. Four, inconsistencies in the salary they're offering. If the posting lists several different salary ranges for the same job, it's probably bait and switch. Absolutely agree here. If they don't, if they aren't operating off of a very clear budget and a range of salary is still attached to a range that is fixed on a budget, a line item to say to hire for this position, then that means they're going to do say anything and they're going to move it up and down, whatever. They're just trying to get somebody in the door. It's bait and switch. They try to get you in and make you feel guilty once they change the terms on you. This happens all the time. Next, the starting range is really, really low or really high. This could be bait and switch again. This is a tactic. Really, really low, really, really high. And then details in the job posting are missing. Just very open-ended, high-level. Think last time you heard a politician answer a direct question. The job posting sounds like a politician talking, and we got a whole bunch of nothing, right? The politicians never talk with details at all. Or if they do, it's just meant to confuse you and divert you. Spelling, grammar errors. This is about professionalism. If they can't take the time to make the job posting be absolutely correct grammatically and spelling, there's a haphazard approach to this that you ought to go, do I want to work for a place that can't spell check their job postings? I don't. You know what I think of here? I think of a story. This happened to Stacy and I one time. When the kids were little, we hired a new babysitter. And it was a reference from one of our trusted babysitters. All right? So we had a trusted babysitter, really, really trust her. And she recommended somebody, and I'll never forget, we just happened to be in the front of our house when she pulled up, and you could see our driveway from that Atlanta house. You could see it right from the front of the house. And the way she came in the driveway, she about ran over half my bushes, and then she got out of the car all just, you know, and she wasn't even late. I was like, ooh, I don't have a good feeling about that. And yeah, we didn't have a good feeling. We came home from dinner early. It's like, I don't know, man. All right. And then last one, the position starts as a contract with the potential to convert. Means they have the ability to hire for a full-time role, but instead they're lowballing you by offering the absolute minimum. So all of those are red flags. So what's the problem here? If you aren't paying attention to cues like this and doing what I suggested earlier and really doing your research, you could wind up in a job that you have buyer's remorse with. And we get those calls a lot. You don't want to get in a job and then 6 weeks later have to leave. It's a pain in the butt. Waste of time and money. So what's the solution? Do the specific digging that I outlined for you. Do your research and then pay attention to these type of clues. And then get feedback from somebody that works in the building. That's the solution. And the reason for this, you make a good decision. And you're not going to have buyer's remorse and have to start all over with this already exhausting process. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. The job search can be filled with a lot of long, lonely hours and a whole bunch of rejection and frustration. ZipRecruiter is the solution. No one wants to feel alone or frustrated, rejected all the time in the job search. ZipRecruiter's artificial intelligence software does so much of the work for you. They save you time by sending you jobs that you can apply to with one click. They pitch your profile relentlessly to employers who have positions that match up with your profile, and you're going to stand out because they're recommending you. So job seekers, if you want to do it the best way, sign up for free. This is a free service to you, no catch. Companies pay ZipRecruiter, you don't. Sign up for free at ZipRecruiter.com. That's ZipRecruiter.com. All right. We've got some very interesting economic indicators. And Dolly Parton on the worst career advice she ever got? Who doesn't want to know more about that? Let's do it in the news. All right. Not too very long ago, we were talking about the unbelievable demand for truckers, right? Probably 5-6 months ago, as many as 80,000 truckers were needed to keep up with the demand. Now this headline, collapsing trucker demand could foreshadow a looming recession. But they do, don't these headline writers, these headline editors do a good job of scaring the you-know-what out of you? I'm scared right now. I just got scared. I needed to look in the control room and see friendly faces. There's Amanda, smiling as always. That just scared me. You, by the way, you want to scare somebody, just use the word looming. I think of the creep, the bad guy, the boogeyman, hanging out behind the bushes in the alley. All right, so here we go. Fox Business wrote this headline, but it's got some historical data to back this up. Here we go, a sharp, unexpected downturn in trucking demand since the beginning of March. So this is new, folks. This is like not too long ago, and we've got several months here. Here we go. Ken Hoexter is the managing director of Bank of America's Trucking Research. And they're looking at data that shows that shippers see a rapidly softening demand for trucks. They've got a specific gauge that tracks truckload demand falling for the fourth consecutive month to its lowest level since June 2020. Which, if you think about that, I mean, we're talking about that's your kind of your first or second full-blown month of the shutdown. Hoexter goes on to say that we are near freight recession level right now. So this is a softening demand from consumers. Okay. So trucking has proven to be a somewhat reliable indicator for the U.S. economy because when customers buy less stuff, obviously companies are shipping less stuff. And when they're shipping less stuff, yeah, you see where we're going here. They don't need as many trucks. So this is a sign that consumer demand is softening and broader downturns in the economy have followed 6 of the 12 trucking recessions since 1972. Okay, so let me just break that down simply. Since 1972, we've had 6 recessions and 12 trucking recessions. So half of the time there's been a trucking recession, meaning a softening in the demand for delivery via trucks. Okay, 50% of the time a recession has followed. So it doesn't mean that a recession is looming, even though the headline writers wanted to drop that one in there, right? It means certainly there are signs that a recession is possible, okay? But it doesn't mean that it's guaranteed. And quick note on this. Why do I share this with you? The Ken Coleman Show is a part of the Ramsey Solutions mothership. And we help people with their money. And I'm going to tell you something. Having a budget, being in control of your money will make you recession-proof. Okay? It just will. And if you pay attention to this show, we're going to keep you updated. We're going to equip you. Okay? If it's going to affect a certain industry, we're going to talk about it. We're going to help you pivot. So when you hear things like recession, understand that the way they craft these headlines, the way they talk about this stuff is designed to scare the you-know-what out of you so you'll pay attention, so you'll read it. Keep your head down. Keep focused. You're going to be fine. All right. Next story. Dolly Parton recently revealed in a podcast the worst career advice she ever got. She's doing the rounds. She's doing some publicity rounds on released with her first novel, Run, Rose, Run. She combined with a little collab with James Patterson. And so she was doing a wide-ranging interview. And she was talking about her career. This article cites the work life with Adam Grant. And so she's having this conversation. And she said throughout her career, she's been doing this now 50 years, folks. She thought of one piece of bad advice that she heard a lot. Now, before I reveal the advice, we're talking about Dolly freaking Parton here. All right? I want you to get this because I'm going to teach out of this. Okay? But she's an icon. Okay? She said, the main advice that people wanted to give me was to change my look, to go simpler with my hair and the way that I dress, not to look so cheap. Nobody was ever going to take me seriously, they would say. She then went on to say, the way I look and the way I looked then was a country girl's idea of glam. It was really like a look I was after. I wasn't a natural beauty. I just like to look the way I look. And so over the years, I'm sure that waned after her, you know, she really burst onto the scene. But over the years, people said, hey, don't look that way. Don't dress that way. Change your makeup. Don't wear the big giant wigs. I hope that's not a spoiler alert for new Dolly fans. Her wigs are as legendary as her music, almost. But, you know, she had a very, very distinct look, and a lot of people thought it was trashy or cheap looking, right? Well, that's the way she liked the look. And I think what she says here, she's going, look, this is the worst advice I got, was to not be me. That's what she's saying. And I've talked a lot about this on the show, that we live in a world that increasingly, directly and indirectly, tells us how to be, how to live, who to be, what to look like, all this kind of stuff. And at the end of the day, you got to decide, who are you? You know, okay, let's just have some fun with this. Hey, dudes, if you're boring and you don't care what you wear, that's fine. But look sharp, right? So if you're boring, go get you 12 blue Oxfords and 12 pairs of khakis and iron them. Wear a nice belt and make sure your shoes aren't all scuffed up and look like a squirrel's been chewing on the toe. All right? So here's what I'm saying. That's you. You don't care. You don't desire to be flashy. You're not trying to look hip or cool, but you could still look presentable. That's you. You're boring guy. I'm okay with boring guy. And there's flashy guy, right? You like a little flash. Okay. You know, do your thing, man. You're going to be who you want to be, but now don't become a circus act with this flash, right? I like the occasional bright shirt. I got a bright orange sweater Nathan won't let me ever wear again on camera. I filed a complaint with HR, didn't go anywhere. All right? He knows I like strong, bold colors, but he said that was too strong. I know. There he is, showing his disapproval. I get it. So don't be a circus act, is my point. But so here's the deal. Be you. Be uniquely you. There's only one you. Why be somebody else? Why be a knockoff of somebody else? I always hated knockoff products. You know? I hate them. It'll be a knockoff product. They already found their place in the market. Be you. Uniquely you. Because the world needs what you can bring. And don't we all need some Dolly Parton? Helping you win at work and in life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So excited to have you with us. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Gilbert, Arizona, where Sal is on the line. Sal, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how's it going?
I am living the dream. Sal, what are you doing?
I'm at home living the dream myself with my kids.
Attaboy. How can I help today?
Yeah, so I'm going to give you a quick synopsis really quick. So for the last couple of years, since 2016, I've been a barber.
Oh, wow.
COVID hit yeah. You know, and it slowed the business down in California.
Of course.
We were still able to work, you know, But a friend called, and that when that friend called, he presented that he was doing some work out here at Gilbert. He's a pastor, and he mentioned some positions. And I said, I'll have my wife apply and see if she gets it. She got the job, and so we moved to Arizona a year ago. She's been there now for a year. With that, so we have two boys, and then we just had a little girl 2 months ago.
Oh, congratulations. I've got two boys and a girl, and man, I love my boys, but there's something about that princess, man. She, I don't know if you know this, but she already owns you, man. Already.
Oh, she does. I already know, man. She for sure does. And so we're, and so now, after she had the baby, I was able to do like two jobs, and we thought we were going to be able to hire someone, but we're not actually comfortable with, since we don't know anybody here, with hiring like a babysitter, especially for the newborn, you know.
All right, hold on a second. Hold on. I just want to make this very quick point, and I want you to keep going. Your wife works at a church.
Correct.
And you just told me you don't know anybody. I'm going to come back to that in a second. Keep going.
What I mean by I don't know anybody is trust.
Well, I know. I know exactly what you mean. I said I'll come back to it. Keep going.
And so we're working with, okay, how do we do this even with the financial place that we're in with just my wife working and then having the two boys and having to put one kid in school and then the other one isn't old enough to be in school. And then having a, so it's learning to navigate. We're trying, I'm trying to,
what do you mean
out.
By in school for the oldest one? Is that preschool?
So he'll go into preschool. Yes. But they do like, it's interesting because here they do preschool almost all day. So it's pretty much a regular first grade school, like 8 to 2 or 3.
Yeah. Is that a form of child care for you guys, or like you think it's really important for his academic development?
It's very important for his academic development.
All right. Is it associated with the church by any chance?
It's not. They don't have anything associated. So
all right,
that's where it gets tricky in that place.
All right. So what's the big question? Now I got a real good hold on all that. So how can I help you?
The big question is for me, as I am at home and as I'm getting ready to get back into the work field, or that's the goal, I'm trying to not, I don't want to go back to barbering because I know I do love cutting hair, but it's not the cutting hair that actually drives me.
What is it?
I'm clear. What drives me?
Yeah.
What drives me is helping people. I love watching people accomplish their goals and succeed at what they're doing.
So how did barbering do that? I understand you were cutting hair, but how did it also allow you to help people?
Just communicating and talking while I was cutting the hair, you know, so I would cut their hair and get to talk with them. But the thing, the business end would slow down on my end because it would become a conversation, a longer conversation than just the haircut, you know, so there's that. There's a relationship and a business aspect in that. But at the same time, I would end up more in the relationship spot because that's where I naturally navigate. Right.
And then what did you love about the actual cutting of hair? Anything? If you didn't tell me.
No, what I loved about the cutting the hair is actually just the detail work it is to watch something that you get to build and create.
Okay. That's what I wanted to figure out. See, because what's interesting is I want you to see two really interesting combinational threads there. Okay. You actually did, while being a barber isn't your dream job, I believe you on that. I agree. But you did love the detailed creativity of cutting hair. Am I saying that about right?
Yes.
I want you to catch that. The detail creativity. Okay. Guy comes in. This is what I want to do with my hair. You're looking at this guy's head of hair. Probably had a bad barber before you, and you're going, good grief, I got to fix this, and I got to get it here, and this guy, I think he'll look good this way. Am I on it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you enjoyed the detail, the precision, locking in, the creative problem solving, and then you loved the people problems you got to weigh in on.
Right.
So therein lies the type of gigs we're looking for.
Correct.
What kind of career path or job allows me to have those elements involved? Right? Now, it might be counseling and therapy down the line. Because with therapy, you are going to be very detailed. You're looking at details in body language, in emotions. You're diving into deep problems. Details that tie into this, and then we're solving people problems. That's one option. I'm not trying to steer you this way. I'm trying to help you see what are the elements that we can learn from in barbering to go, oh, I would love this. I would love this kind of work. Now, I teach that there are three threads that are within everybody: talent, passion, and mission. Talent, obviously, these are hard skills, so you're very good with your hands and creative with your eyes to be able to cut hair. Okay. You got the soft skills or people skills, the ability to empathize and be compassionate, to discern, right? Am I on the track here?
Yeah. I actually did your assessment.
Oh, you
yesterday.
Did? Shut up.
I just did it yesterday. Shut up.
So oh, man.
Go through the process.
I didn't know that. You should have told me that earlier. Let's go.
Sorry. Well, yeah, sorry. I should have said
Give me your purpose statement real quick. Go.
No, I'm not. I have the actual results. I haven't been able to sit down and actually go through everything.
No, but I mean, when you have your results, it printed out a purpose statement for you. It spit it out.
Okay.
At the end of your missional report, I'll tell you what page it is.
Okay, what page is it?
I'm going to get to it. Hold on. I got my old physical copy right here. There we go. This is great. It is going to be page 16, I believe. Nope, page 19.
Page 19. One second. My which statement? The whole thing?
You can't miss it, buddy. It's the only thing on page 19.
I was created to use my talents of justice, instruction, compassion to perform my passion of advising, leading, promoting to accomplish my mission of influence by producing change and progress.
Woo! How does that feel?
That feels good.
All right, I want you to go back to the... Give me the three under passion one more time.
The three under passion is...
To perform my passion of... It's in the statement. You just read it.
Of advising, leading, and promoting.
All right, so there it is. So the way I designed this assessment was to allow for a lot of different specific types of work and or jobs and careers to fall within those large bucket labels. Okay? So advising, leading, and promoting. Go back and reread after this phone call. And during nap time today, right, for the kiddos, I want you to reread those three passions, and I want you to allow your brain to explore ideas as you read the description. But see, that's exactly why you love talking to people. You love to advise people. The idea of leading people to a better place in their life, right? The justice theme, the talent of justice. You are a guy who sees right and wrong very easily. Very easily, and you care deeply about it. So what you need to be thinking about is, as you read those descriptions of the passion, the three passions, those are really detailed job descriptions. So you got to go, what are the types of jobs and career paths where I can do those three passions for a primary part of my day? I like to say 75% of the day, but that's a rule of thumb. It's not like an exact science. But see, that's the key. And now you know what to look for. Now I want to come back to the childcare thing because I said I would. And you admitted it. You don't trust anybody, but that's your fault. You got all kinds of people in that church that know your wife, and there's some grandmamas out there who would love to make some side money, and they raise kids. They've taken care of grandbabies. And all you got to do is interview them just like you'd interview anybody else. You can trust them. Go get your references. I'd get somebody in the house, allow you to get out of the house. And man, your best is yet to be. You matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. Ever wondered how to win in business and leadership? I'm George Camel, host of the Entree Leadership Podcast, where you'll hear exceptional advice, origin stories, and practical strategies for success. These weekly conversations with America's brightest business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs will help you succeed in all areas of business and leadership. Listen to the Entree Leadership Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.